program now are two local filmmakers who have made a film documentary, a short documentary that receives its premiere at the Five Point Film Festival. Haley Thompson is here. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Luke. Thank you so much for having us.
You're so welcome. And by telephone, driving across South Dakota, Thomas Zuccarano.
Hey, Luke. Hey, Katie and Kay.
So I understand you grabbed an opportunity to do a little filming, Thomas, about spiritual agriculture in South Dakota. What in the world is spiritual agriculture?
It was a cross-cultural exploration of spiritual agriculture.
Ooh, even better.
And so I am traveling with Brooke from Sustainable Settings, somebody you all know, and we were helping establish a healing camp for those who have moved from Standing Rock on a woman named Phyllis Bald Eagle's land. And it is a healing camp because they will be developing a growing both food and spirituality and health encampment there with permanent structures. And so we were there to really do the biodynamic preps with the local materials.
Interesting.
And yeah, so we spent days chasing buffalo poop and we found it and we did what we needed with it.
A day in the life of a filmmaker.
And biodynamic farmer. And Tom, is it not true that the Lakota elders sought out Brooke at Sustainable Settings because of the experience he has?
Absolutely. They had just visited, Phyllis and her husband had just visited Sustainable Settings. And, you know, were amazed at the amount of nutrition that they found, nutrition for the brains and the body and the planet. And so they asked Brooke to go up there, and I was lucky enough to tag along.
It sounds like this is building on your film, How We Grow. It's sort of the same subject.
It's definitely why we're in touch with so many amazing characters in this community, and I think why Brooke has us on speed dial saying, you got to come film this.
So it's happening all over the country. It's not happening just in the Roaring Fork Valley.
So true. We are definitely part of a much larger movement that's going on everywhere, and it's really exciting to see.
Your film, How We Grow, highlights sustainable agriculture and the local food scene. Maybe, Haley, you could tell us a little bit about who's in it and what they do.
Absolutely. We have quite a cast of characters that I think are local celebrities, and definitely why Tom and I first connected about a little over a year ago at the Food Convergence up in Aspen. We're just huge fans of our friends who chose farming as a career and doing it here, particularly a challenging place to grow at altitude, but they're also passionate about it. It's really hard not to be inspired by them. And some of those folks are Harper and Christian of Two Roots, Aaron of Aaron's Acres, Aaron Cusio, Jimmy Dula, who's partnered up with Aaron, Casey and Kirsten over at Wild Mountain Seeds, Whitney at Roaring Gardens. I mean, the list goes on and on. Ed and at Aspen Tree, and they're all such awesome people that are really pushing, they're moving the dial in our community with local agriculture. Tom, did you have a question?
I was going to ask you, Tom, that's not an easy road to hoe, is it? Local agriculture?
No, it's a tricky thing. You know, we live at high elevation, and some people, you know, don't even believe that we're making a movie about farming where we live. Land costs, very little water, not so much little water, but not enough arable land. The altitude, things like hailstorms that sneak through and destroy farms. It's tricky stuff, but the characters in our movie have recognized the problem, and that's that they'd like to see better food choices, and they're getting to work to fix that problem, to solve that problem. That's super inspiring.
At the beginning of your film, you say that there for every six farmers over the age of 65, there's only one under 35, and yet you seem to have found four or five or more of these farmers just in this valley.
Yeah, that's what makes it a story worth quitting your job to follow for a year plus, I think. I mean, it's not just happening here, but the energy that they have really says something about this problem that our whole world is facing, really, but specifically in our country. The average age of the American farmer is 58, approaching retirement. It's going to be a huge shift in the next 10 to 20 years. And the fact that farming is, you know, has been traditionally thought of as not a very sexy occupation, you know, that's a challenge. But we see it very differently. So, and I think it shows in our film. It's definitely, we fiercely believe in it.
I would say definitely it shows in your film. The inspiring part, you mentioned inspiration yourself, Haley. All these farmers who are not getting a whole lot of payback yet from their efforts, they're still totally committed. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that they would definitely beg to differ. They get a lot of payback, maybe not financial yet, but just engaging the community. And what they're doing for the land, for the soil. I think that speaking to spirituality and agriculture, the land here is, it's magic, and the history is particularly special. And I think you feel it when you're on these farms, and you definitely feel it when you see someone like Casey Pescura, you know, working the Broad Fork, building out these new beds, and speaking passionately about soil and seeds just for hours. He loves it, and it's contagious. You want to be part of it in every way. We, you know, invested in all of the CSAs that our friends had to offer just to see the fruits of their labor, and, you know, putting all that produce on the table every week and divvying it up amongst our neighbors that bought into it. You know, it's like, you feel so proud of it, and you want to cheer them on because it's a really hard job. But I think that the connecting that they're doing within the community is a great, you know, paycheck for now. But we want to get them paid too. So,
well, your film does a good job of illustrating the beauty of it, the beauty of getting your hands dirty, the beauty of growing things, mm-hmm. the beauty of our area.
We have a very talented cinematographer.
Well, you did a good job with
Thank
that.
Thank you, Haley.
Yeah, it's an editor's dream to work with footage like that, so I'm not complaining at all.
So it's about a 12-minute film, Thomas. How many hours and hours of film did you actually shoot?
Luke, I'm going to back up to say that the film that is playing at Five Point is a vignette of just one of the chapters of a feature-length documentary.
Oh.
So then to jump into so far, I have more than 1,000 hours of footage shot.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
impressive.
More to come. The short we should mention is, just to go a little deeper into why we have it in the first place, we did win a grant through the Redford Center last fall, which was huge for us. It was, you know, it's our first film, and they had this inaugural grant program where they were looking for documentaries in development that focus on an environmental topic that's hopeful. And one of the things Thomas and I bonded over in the very beginning, like the first meeting we had, was that we don't want this to be another film that you walk out of feeling like the world is going to end and it's so depressing and not motivated at all. That was completely the opposite. And that's what the Redford Center seemed to be looking for. So it was a really great match. And when they when they picked us, it was the craziest thing. And part of the agreement with the grant was that we got to go to this story summit where they paired us with mentors, and we got to talk about story development and how we would produce for them this short film that would help us promote the film, but also be something to show for the grant. And it was it was a total crash course in filmmaking, but also beautiful because we now know exactly how we want to approach the film. And I think it does give a nice slice of a chapter, a very important chapter, being microfinance, which is, you know, one of the many solutions, I think, to empowering these farmers further into the future and hopefully showing other young people that that it's a possible career opportunity if they're up to it. Low Money is a group founded by Woody Tash. He's written a book on it, and it's brilliant stuff. And it's basically looking at investing your money in, instead of in stocks, investing in local agriculture. They say, what would happen if you invested, you know, all of your stock money into, or just some of it, into 50 miles within your local community of agriculture. And our particular branch, Two Forks Club, is unique. It was created by Susan Brady, local Carbondale lady, who's so awesome and such a great champion of the film. It's the only slow money chapter that gives zero interest loans. And all of the farmers that we chose to follow and the ones that we highlight in this short applied for a loan from Slow Money from Two Forks Club last spring. And we had our cameras there and we followed them through the whole nerve-wracking process of giving the presentations. And they are all so smart and so organized. I mean, true business people that really presented their business plan to all these investors. And I think the results are really magnificent, especially seeing how far they've grown since last year into this year. I think almost every farm has doubled their grow space. And they feel really empowered by the community because of groups like Two Forks Club that just want to see movement. They want to see that needle move, and they want to see more locally grown food available at farmers markets and, you know, Whole Foods, wherever, but just available throughout the community and at a affordable price point so that everybody wins.
One of my takeaways from the film, Haley, was that there seems to be a convergence of a lot of things in this valley that your film shows. One is the willing young farmer. Two is no shortage of mentors who've already been doing this for many years. I'm thinking of Jerome Osentowski and Brooke Levan, Michael Thompson. Many of our listeners have heard these people on the air here at KDNK, and that must be priceless for these young farmers to have somebody like Brooke and Jerome to help them along.
It's amazing. That was my personal connection to the story from the beginning, because my father, Michael Thompson, is partners with Jerome, and they are designing greenhouses for people all over the world and at the high schools and middle schools and elementary schools in the valley. They're really, and Brooke, you know, obviously Thomas is traveling with him right now, to spread the passion and the knowledge about what they're doing. And, it's hard to not be inspired by these people. And they have, my father used to say, this sort of army of young farmers that he just saw growing up into it. And, the story was always compelling to me, but, being back here and really being absorbed in it, it's intense to see. And I love that the mentors are so encouraging. You know, they don't feel, there's no sort of threatening tension. Like they love the young farmers, the beginning farmers, as they call themselves, and they support them because they're going to carry on a legacy. And it's an emotional thing for me. I'm like.
And you know what? That comes through the film, because I got emotional too, especially when they stood up there and heard that they were accepted for their loans.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps.
Oh, good.
And that's great. So good job on that.
Thank you.
Well, another part, I think, of this confluence of a lot of positive factors is a ready market in our valley for this kind of agriculture.
Absolutely.
Which, of course, is built on the efforts of people like your father and Jerome and Brooke, but a lot of people willing to support the efforts of these beginning farmers.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about this community, is that they are always ready to champion good ideas, or any ideas really. Seeing everyone sort of rally behind these young farmers, Erin Cusio of Erin's Acres is a great example. Last year was her first year farming solo with her own operation, and I believe she doubled her CSA member list. And the fact that people, wanted to just get behind her operation and are proud to be able to say that they made the list, because now I feel like there's waiting lists for these CSAs. And I'm really grateful that our community is showing up in that way, because that's how change happens. That's how we're going to move the needle, I think, is if everybody gets involved and finds what their particular part is, whether it's farming or supporting the farmers or hosting potlucks where everyone brings a dish that's made from local food, just so you can get a sense of whether it's challenging to find, which it really isn't at this point, especially if you're plugged in, you know how to find it. But also just to increase the demand so that there are more jobs created, because it's out there. It's a fun thing to be a part of.
You make the point in the film that down the road, it's going to be more and more difficult to find water. And by the way, I love that you use Pearl and Wood's song about every little once in a while, the water every once in a while. That's great.
Yeah.
It was really cool hearing that. But anyway, and of course, we all know that land is not inexpensive in the Roaring Fork Valley. And yet these farmers have managed to forge relationships with people who do own land and are willing to give over part of it for these farmers.
That's another really empowering thing. And I hope that the viewers take that away when they watch this, because, yes, land is very expensive here. Thankfully, there are operations like Pitkin County's Open Space where they're making land available for lease to farmers for much more affordable prices that are realistic, and also getting that land worked, because, you know, we have the land, but we need to make it accessible for the farmers. I think the farmers exist too, but this valley is not a cheap place to live. It's totally worth the struggle, but we don't want our farmers to struggle. We want them to have all the tools necessary so that we can empower them and we can all, you know, literally reap the benefits of the fruits of their labor. So that's really great. But also the landowners, the homeowners that have extra land, there are great benefits to that, tax benefits, if you let farmers use part of your land so that they can grow food. And the landowners that have empowered the farmers in our film have literally changed the course of these farmers' careers. And it's given them a great opportunity to build their brand and to explore all of the challenges and triumphs that come with farming. And I don't know, I see a great future for this valley if that catches on, you know. I don't know if it's wishful thinking, but there's a lot of second homeowners that, you know, if there are empty homes and those yards, it's becoming very popular to turn your yard into a food forest.
Yes.
You know, and there was actually a group down at the Basalt Food Forest today with Stephanie Sison. And it's cool that there's like these so many events, I can't make it to all of them now.
Nice.
So
what's next for your project here? You premiere the short at the 5 Point Film, and then how long down the road before you think you've produced your full length feature?
That's a great question. We've always been aiming to pull a feature together in time to start submitting to film festivals by the end of this summer. The story does keep getting bigger, and as the editor of the film, I am just, you know, wide-eyed and waiting to see what I end up coming up with. But Tom's still filming, and the story's ongoing. We have Megan Lovelace just took over Jimmy Dula's intern spot over at National Farmers Union in D.C., and Jimmy's back, and you know, he and Aaron are partnering. We're just watching this snowball, this huge story, and so it's a fun challenge for, like, I'm going back to my edit bay after we're done talking to keep working on it. I'm really so excited to go to Five Point, because when you see other films, you just get that bug and you get that sort of, you know, get to take your brain off for a minute and just, like, dig into other films and feel inspired. And it's such an honor to be part of that community of filmmakers with our very first film and to have it premiere. Here, we're grateful to Five Point for giving us that platform.
Now, when does the film show at Five Point?
We are being screened on Sunday, April 23rd, during the noon to 4 program, the Changemakers segment. So we're really excited about that.
Well, congratulations, Haley.
And thank you, Luke.
By proxy, you too, Thomas, even though you can't hear me. Hey, thanks for joining me.
Thanks.